Okay, before we start, I just want to mention that today's shiur is Le'iloi Nishmat two people, one who passed away yesterday, Avigal Malka Bahar of Moshe Vachana Yehudit. Avigal Pupko, she was actually a former roommate of mine at some point, and she was a Tohenet Rabbanit in her earlier years. I brought her to speak to my students about when I was teaching Gittin. She came in, and she's young. Yeah, she's around my age. And then she has a doctorate in Tanakh, I believe it is, and she's taught Tanakh for many, many years. Full of energy, very positive, very, very matter-of-fact kind of person, and her loss is strongly felt among community. And it's the third year of the Yuletzeit for Oz Avram Shimon Ben Eliezer Yitzchak Halevi Bachana, boy from our community who died of cancer, would have been 19. Okay. So, with that, we're going to start about Shom HaYitomim. Interesting, we're talking about Yitomim. Okay, so Shom HaYitomim 30 Yom V'Shom HaEkdesh 60 Yom U'machrizim B'Boker B'Erev. Our main topic today is going to be protecting the Yitomim, children who don't have parents and are left with chovot of the father. Okay, they basically end up inheriting the estate, and there's all these people coming to claim money from them. And there's always a concern of protecting them for all sorts of reasons. Today we're going to see a bunch of different reasons as to why they need protection and why we're going to see. So we're going to start off with the Mishnah says, when we assess the property of the Yitomim that they inherit from their father, and then we try to sell it, we give it 30 days to see if we can get a better price, basically. We want to see, you know, if we start selling things right away, the first price you get might not be the best price. We want to wait till it goes up in value. Vishoma Hekdesh, when you give something to Hekdesh, since it belongs to the Mikdash, we're going to give it 60 days, Shishimyo, so that we can get the highest price possible. Umachrizim Baboker Uba'erev. And they would announce it every day in the morning and the evening. They would kind of, you know, announce this, that we're selling this property. So the Gemara is going to start up and say, Maishna Baboker Uba'erev, what's unique about the morning and the evening? Amarav Yehuda Amarav, Bish'at Hotza'at Po'alim, U'Bish'at Hachnasat Po'alim. It's the time when the Po'alim are going out and the Po'alim are going in. Okay, so there's going to be a few different interpretations of what this means. I'll get to them soon. Bish'at Hotza'at Po'alim, at the time when the Po'alim are going out, there's two options of going out. Either they're going out of the city to go work in the fields, or they're going out from their jobs back into the city. Okay, so either it means in the morning or it means in the evening on their way home. So we'll get to the two different interpretations in a minute. The Gemara doesn't give two different interpretations. The Gemara gives one interpretation, and the rabbis give different interpretations, the commentators, of what the Gemara meant here. B'shat hotza'at po'alim, when they go out, let's just assume it means they go out into the fields. De'ika de'nicha le'mizban. That's a time when it's the time when it's a good time to sell, I guess is what they're saying.
Anyone who might want to buy it can tell his welcome.
Okay. So someone who wants to sell, fine, that's just the beginning. Ika denicha lemizban, someone who wants to sell, amar luhu lepoalim, he'll say to the poalim,
wants to buy.
Is someone who wants to buy? Ah, I see. Well, Zavin could be both sell and buy. Okay, now I get it. It's the person who wants to... What happens? They're announcing how much the field's worth. Now, normally, when you go to buy a house, what do? You send someone to assess the field. So when the Po'alim are going out into the fields, what do? You say to the Po'alim on their way, Azilu sairelu niale. Go check it out for me and see is it really worth that amount of money. So therefore, in the morning, they start announcing the price so that when the workers are going out... Okay, the opposite interpretation is that they say, how could you possibly tell the workers while you're working, go check out this field? They can't do it during their work hours, so it's definitely the opposite. It's when they get back, you tell them, listen, before you go to work in the morning, check out the field, okay? It's the opposite. It's right now that you came back from the fields, and you're not working anymore, go look at that field and see what it's worth. B'shat hachnasat po'alim, so now why do you have to then do it? If that's the time, either in the morning they're going to check it out or in the evening they're going to check it out, so why do you need to announce in the other time? B'shat hachnasat po'alim, dinit kar da'amar lehu nezel nishaylinu. It's to remind you so that you then ask the workers, and let's say they went out in the morning to check out the field. So when they get back in the afternoon, you might forget, right? Classic, people forget it all the time, all sorts of things they have to do. You might forget, so they're reminding you, oh, by the way, go ask them what they came up with. And likewise, if they went at the end of their day, then in the morning, and the assumption is they're going to go back to the fields, you're going to go back home, you're not going to see them. But in the morning, when you see them going out to the fields, you'll remember to ask them what they thought about the field. Tanya Namihachi, here's a brighter to support this issue of the baboker ba'erev is hachnasa poalim and hotza poalim. Shoma yitomim, so far it's going to be the same as our Mishnah, shloshim yom, v'shoma hekde shishim yom, u'machrizim baboker ba'erev, b'shat hotza poalim u'b'shat hachnasa poalim. There it says it, right? Omer, and now they're going to explain what you say when you do the hachraza. Sadeh ploni b'simaneha u'b'mitzareha. Right, this is the simanim in the following field. Here's how we describe it. Right? They didn't have street names or anything. Here's how we describe it. These are the borders of it. Kachi yafa, this is what it's worth. So Rashi says, this is how much it produces in a year. Okay, there's another interpretation that says, right, where Rashi is basically saying quality. And some people say that it means this is the price where people are offering for it. Okay, kachi yafa means this is the going rate right now. The kachi shuma is this is what it was evaluated at. And this is what it evaluated, and this is what it is goes for now. Or kachi yafa means this is its quality, and then kachi shuma is this is its price. Kol harotzeh likach yavo v'yikach, right? Anybody wants to buy, come name your price. Amanat liten li'isha b'ktubata ulebal chov b'chovo. So now they say, so this is what they're basically saying, anyone who wants should go and buy in order so that the yitomim, right, this is obviously not the hekdesh case, the yitomim can give to the wife, you know, the widow, her ketubah money, or so they can pay off the balei chov. So that's the end of the braita. So the Gemara asks, Lama li lemeimer, amanat liten li shak ketubata ulebal chov chovo? Why do they have to specifically say what we're selling this for? So they say, it's a way to entice people to pay. Why? There's each of these things, to pay off a bal chov and to give the woman a ketubah, has a certain easier nature to it. Okay? Why? Ika denichale b'bal chov demeka bezuze. A bal chov is always happy to get his money back. He doesn't care if the money's not the best quality money. The coins are a little ruined or something. He's just happy to get his money back because we all know how difficult it is to collect, especially once the father's dead and they're collecting from an estate. So therefore, people will say, oh, I'm happy to buy it because I know I can get rid of some coins that I'm not really so interested in keeping, along those lines. The ika denichale b'isha deshakla al yad al yad. A woman, when she gets her ketubah money, she generally takes it a bit at a time. She doesn't mind getting paid, as we say in Israel, b'tashlumim, right, in payments and in installments. So therefore, they'll be happy to buy this land because they know that they could pay it in installments. Whereas a bal chov won't necessarily be happy to get his money in installments. And that's why they say what they're selling it for, so that whoever's interested in doing that kind of sale will purchase it.
This suggests that a woman is going to insist on higher quality, so that with each one of these options, there's a plus.
Right,
and a
exactly.
Minus.
With each one, exactly. Tanu Rabbanan, Shoma Yitomim Shloshim Yom, V'Shoma Hekdei Shishim Yom. Okay, I started charting all this out on the sheet, this long sheet for today, to keep things organized. Divrei Rabbi Meir. We're now going to see there's a three-way machloket. You can see it on the chart about how many days we wait for each one. So the first is the one we saw in our Mishnah. Shoma Yitomim, 30 days, and Shoma Hekdei Shishim Yom. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shoma Yitomim Shishim Yom. It's actually 60 days. V'Shoma Hekdei Shishim Yom, 90 days. Okay, it's even longer. V'Chachamim Omerim, Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh Shishim Yom. There's no difference between the two. Both are 60 days. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Avimi. Rav Chista now says in the name of Vimi, Halacha Shoma Yitomim Shishim Yom. Okay, against our Mishnah, that really it's 60 days. Yatev Rav Chiya Bar Avin, v'ka'amar lahashmata. So Rav Chiya Bar Avin said the following thing that Rav Chista said in the name of Avimi, that it's 60 days. Amar le Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, le Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak comes and says to Rav Chiya Bar Avin, shishim kamarta, o shloshim kamarta. You can see shishim and shloshim sound a little the same. He says to him, wait a minute, 60 or 30? Because he thinks it's 30. Amar le shishim. He says, no, 60. So now he asks, to yitomim or to hekdesh? Do you mean for for orphans or for hekdesh. Again, knowing that the Mishnah says 30, and why are you saying 60 for yatomim? Amarle diyatomim. He says, no, yatomim. So now he says, ki Rabbi Meir or ki Rabbi Yehuda? Because right, the assumption is we hold like Rabbi Meir. So he's saying, do you hold like Rabbi Meir, who actually we know said 30 for yatomim and not 60? Or are you going like Rabbi Yehuda, who said 60 for yatomim? Amar le ki Rabbi Meir. He says, no, I hold like Rabbi Meir. Now we're really stuck because Rabbi Meir really said 30. The ha Rabbi Meir shloshim kamar. So he says back to him, but didn't Rabbi Meir say 30? Amar le hachi amar Rav Chista me'avimi. This is what Rav Chista said about Avim, that he learned from Avimi. I already got hit many, many times about the following limud, and as I got beaten up by Avimi about this, because what he explained is the following. Even though the Mishnah says that Rabbi Meir said 30, it's really 60, and how do we explain it? If Rabbi Meir said 30, how do we say 60? Bala hachriz ritzufin shloshim. B'sheni u'b'chamishi shishim. If you announce it every single day, day and night, then it's 60 days, it's 30 days. But if you only announce it on the market days, on Mondays and Thursdays, then it's 60 days. Now, you might say the math, it doesn't really add up, because you can either do every day or you can do 2 days a week. Well, if you do 2 days a week, so it's not going to be the same amount of days. But af agav dechi chashiv le'mar li'yomei, hachraza lo have ela timnesar. And even though when you do 60 days of Monday, Thursday, you really only get to 18 days, okay, rather than, again, it won't exactly be 30 days because we're minus Shabbatot, but still, it'll be more than 18. Ela timnesar yome, kevan demash chamilta shame inashe. People will hear, since it goes over a period of 30 days, even though it's only 18 days you're actually announcing, it's equal to announcing every single day of a 30-day month. Okay, not only that, so they don't say this, but it's obvious that on the market day, there's more people there, more people are going to hear, and it's over an extended period of time, so therefore it comes out about equal. So what they're basically saying is it's 60, because 60 means when you do it on Mondays and Thursdays. Okay, so even Rabbi Meir would say the following.
Okay. It's like business days.
Right, that's true. Like business days, right? Shipping, how long shipping's going to take, right, based on business days, yeah. Okay. And don't forget, they had a lot of holidays also that they might not have been, doing it. I don't know. Okay. V'Rabbi Yochanan Omer. I skipped. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi. Okay, now the rest of the sugya is going to be about the following. Okay, Rav Yehuda said, we're basically going to bring in this halacha about collecting money from Yatomim, and that's going to seem to disagree with our Mishnah. Because what does our Mishnah imply? Our Mishnah implies that you can collect money from Yatomim, you just have to announce, 30 days, they have to make an announcement about the land in order to sell it, but then they can use it to pay back a Baal Chov, right, someone who's owed money, or the Tubadi Shah. So now comes Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi. Ein is kakim l'nichsei Yatomim, Ela in kein haita ribit ochelet bahem. We have this halacha that you cannot collect money from orphans. Why can't you collect money from orphans? Because we're worried. Now, when we say orphans here, we mean when they're young. Okay? As soon as they get of age, we can collect from them. But at this stage, we don't want to collect from them. And what's the reason? Because we're worried about, okay, something. We're not exactly sure what we're worried about, but let's just say it generally. We're worried about somebody taking advantage of them. And therefore, we wait till they get older. Once they get older, they have their own dad, right? And as, even if you say, we're going to put up an apitropus, right? A person who's going to be in charge of their a legal guardian. We don't know that the legal guardian is going to go out to bat for them. So we're going to wait till they get older and they can basically make their own claims. So therefore, we actually can't collect money from Yatomim unless, what's the only criteria? Well, imaytar ribito chelet bahem. If there was interest payments, well, then it's in their best interest to get rid of the interest payments and pay back the money now. But assuming there's no interest payments, we don't allow it. That's Rav Asi. For Rabbi Yochanan Omer, he says, wait, there's two possibilities. O lishtar sheyesh bo ribit. I agree with you about the first case, in that case. O l'ktubati sha mishum mezone. I'll give you another example where it's in their best interest. A woman, when the husband dies, so what happens? The woman gets mizonot. Basically, the wife, the widow, gets every month she gets money for food to eat. But if she collects her ketuba money, okay, there's a one lump sum in the ketuba. The ketuba basically guarantees you mizonot until such point that you collect your ketuba money. If you collect a one lump sum payment, then you don't get mizonot anymore. So therefore, it's in the best interest of the yatomim to pay the big lump sum of the ketuba so that they don't have to keep paying the monthly payment of mizonot. Because otherwise, they're going to pay the monthly ketuba, the payments of mizonot, and then eventually they'll have to pay the whole big ketuba amount anyway. So therefore, it's like the case of Rabbi Ochelet Bahem. So Rabbi Yochanan adds an additional case. So now the obvious is, why doesn't Rav Asi hold like Rabbi Yochanan? Rav Asi, my time alone, Amar l'ketubat isha, tahatikinu le'rabana ma'asi adeha. Well, it's true they have to pay mizono to the mother. However, she has to give them, in exchange for the mizono, everything that she works for, so she goes out to the fields and works, all of her proceeds go to them. So it's not like it's really a loss, because they're getting money, they're getting income from her. So how do you explain Rabbi Yochanan now? V'idach, zimnin de lo sapka. Her ma'aseh adeh don't always cover her mizonot, so it could still be a loss, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan says it's also for ketubat isha. So at this point we have two reasons why you can't collect from yatomim. One is, we're basically, not reasons, they don't actually give the reasons. Okay, we're going to get to the reasons soon. But what we have here is two cases of where we're going to make an exception. It's an exception to the rule if there's ribit, according to Rav Asi, and if there's also ketubat isha, according to Rav Yochanan. Okay, tov. Tanan. Now we're going to bring a slew of questions. Okay, if you look at the sheet, there's going to be three questions that are all going to be similar, or some of them are going to be similar, on Rav Asi. Tana, Shoma Yitomim Shloshim Yom, Vishoma Hekte Shishim Yom, Machrizim Baboker Ba'erev. B'mayas Kinan, what's our case here? Right, what did we just say? We can't collect money from Yitomim. So how are they doing the Shom HaYitomim? How are they assessing their property if they're not allowed to pay anything back? The obvious, right? What are they assessing the property? What do we already say? Well, to give the Ketubat Isha or to Abal Chov. So, B'mayas Kinan, what's the case? The obvious would be to bring in a case where someone's collecting ribit. So, right? It would be an obey kochavim who's collecting ribit, because a Jew can't collect interest from another Jew. So, if it's a baal chov obey kochavim, mitzait, is he going to listen to us to wait the 30 days that our halacha says, or the 60 days? Right? Is he going to have to? He's not going to listen to that. He's going to say, I want my money right now. Ela pshita baal chov Yisrael. It must be a baal chov Yisrael. Now, what's the option then? If he's taking ribit, we don't allow that. Right? We don't allow Jews to collect ribit. So that won't be. Ela dilo ka'acha ribita. So therefore, it must be a case where we're collecting from a Jew. He's for a Jew, right? A baal chov is the Jew. And he's not taking ribit. And notice what it says. V'katani nizkakin. It says we can collect the money, because it says after 30 days, we sell the property and we give it to him. And what did they just say? Right? We can't. So, Bishlam ala Rabbi Yochanan. Why is this only a question of Rav Asi? Because Rabbi Yochanan will say very simply, Mokei la b'ketubat isha. Our Mishnah must be talking about where they're collecting for a woman's ketubah, which he already explained you're allowed to do. Ela la Rav Asi kashya. But according to Rav Asi, you said it's only Baal Chov, and we basically have no Baal Chov that's collecting interest, because the non-Jew's not going to listen, and the Jew, we won't allow him to accept the ribit. So therefore, what could be the case? Amar lecha Rav Asi. Well, so Rav Asi counter questions. He says, wait, or again, this isn't Rav Asi, it's as if Rav Asi would be there, he would say, wait, I can ask a further question on Rabbi Yochanan. Before we even get to an answer, we're going to kind of say, it's also a problem according to Rabbi Yochanan. Ula Rabbi Yochanan min nicha? Does it work according to Rabbi Yochanan, this Mishnah? Also, it doesn't. Mi shavkina mizone devadai kamafsede, v'naksinan hachraza de lo yadina ima vichinan iloma vichinan. What do they say? He says something very smart. What did we say? There's two options. Either you can collect or you can't collect. Either you can't collect because it's in the right, we want to protect the yatomim. Or in the cases where we allow you to collect, it's because what? They're going to have a loss. Well, now the Mishnah says we wait 30 days or maybe 60 days if they're only announcing on Mondays and Thursdays. Now that might cause a loss also. In other words, we don't know. The reason why we do it is, again, so that they don't potentially lose money. We want to make sure we've gotten all our bids and we've gotten the highest bidder. But that's a question. Maybe you'll get a higher bid or maybe you won't. But if we're talking about a case where they're sustaining a loss because they're not paying the ketubah and therefore have to pay a for sure payment they're going to have to pay to the woman, to the widow, so why would you say, if we're so worried about them losing money, pay it right away, take the first buyer, get rid of your chov, your obligation, and with that, that's a vadai. Why, right? We generally say, ein safek motzi midei vadai. Why would we go with a safek situation that maybe if we wait the 30 days, they'll get a better price, when we know for sure they're getting a loss? So, therefore, they say, what's the answer? So they answer Kidya Rabbi Yehuda Amar. Halo Kasha. This is not difficult. We can assume again. We're doing an Ukimta on the Mishnah. Not only are we talking about just for Ketubat Isha, but it's a case where Tova Ketubat Habibetin. She already went to court to get her Ketubah. That's when they say we're going to sell the property. We can wait 30 days. Why? Because if you remember, we learned this. This is in the famous case where they wouldn't let the woman accept to get her ketubah money, and they wouldn't let her get mizono because they judged her like Rav and Shmuel. And this whole funny case, and not really so funny. It wasn't funny for her at all. Kidya Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, hatovak ketubat habibetin ein la mizonot. Once you go and you say, I want to get my ketubah money, you lose your rights to mizonot. Even if you don't necessarily get the ketubah money. What happened in that case in Gittin was that she went to get her ketubah money, and then they said, and it actually relates to this whole thing, because you can't do it unless you take a shvua, but they didn't want to let women take shvuot, so that you can't get money from Yatomim unless you swear, because if you don't swear, we're worried you're taking advantage. And therefore, she went to take the money, but she couldn't swear because then the rabbis stopped letting women swear because some women swore falsely, so they wouldn't let her swear, but she had already been tovat ketubat habibetin, so they basically wouldn't let her get her ketubah money. And they were judging her both like Rav, who said, we can't let her swear, and both like Shmuel, who said, once you go to court, and they said, how could you judge me both like Rav and both like Shmuel and end up not letting me do anything? And she cursed the rabbi who did it, and he ended up, even though they tried to overturn the curse, he ended up dying because she cursed him. Anyway, we've gone back to that story a bunch of times. It's one of those stories you don't forget. So what do they say? So it must be a case where she already went to the Beit Din, which means she doesn't get mizonot, according to Shmuel, which means there's no loss anymore, and that's what it's talking about. So then they say, Ihachi is dikuke lo mizdakekinan la. Well, if there's no rush and there's no loss, then we're back to square one. Then we shouldn't let her get the money until what? Until such point as the Yatomim get older. And what's the issue again? Maybe they can claim, well, again, I didn't really get into this yet because we're going to see the reasons, but one of the reasons is maybe the father really paid her already and they want to look into it to make sure she didn't get her ketubah money already. Even though, okay, I'll have to do a review of a bunch of things, even though generally you don't get the ketubah till the husband dies or divorces, but oftentimes since the ketubah money was designated money for her, there were some times where the husband would give the money to the wife even when they were still married. Okay, so therefore, there could be a possibility that she got some of the money. So anyway, what do they say? Ela kevan dizdekekina la meikara, mizdekekina la basof. Okay, since they already allowed it from the beginning, and that is in general a ketubah, therefore they're going to allow her to get her ketubah. Okay, also now she's losing her mizonot, so they allow her to get it. Anyway, what do they say? So we tried to counter question Rabbi Yochanan, that didn't work. We answered it. Mikomakom l'Ravasi kashi, but we're back to it's difficult for Ravasi. So what do they answer? Lo olam b'ba chov ovei kochavim. Oh, it is an ovei kochavim. We're back to it can only be rebid. How can you have rebid? It must be a non-Jew. Shekibel alav l'adum b'nei Yisrael, and he said, I'll agree to be judged in your court and do whatever your court says, and that's why he'll wait the 30 days. Well, then they're going to question that. Ihachi rebid nami lishkol. Well, then in that case, he should also get the rebid payment. In other words, he shouldn't get the rebate because if he says, I'm agreeing to come to court and work in, right, and be judged in court like a Jew, well, then he shouldn't accept interest, and then we're back to square one. This isn't an interest case. If it's not an interest case, well, then you shouldn't be allowed to collect. So what do they answer? Shekibel alav lezo velo kibel alav lezo. He said, I'll come to your courts and I'll agree to whatever stipulations you have, but I'm not giving up on my interest payments. Okay? And therefore, it ends up a case where we have this in between, where we can collect from the Yatomim, but they get 30 days because they're not incurring a loss, so we can wait the 30 days. But it's the opposite. No, they don't. They're not taking the. No, they're not.
He's agreed to suspend interest for 30 days, but not to give.
That's what it is, right? He'll suspend the rebate for 30 days. Okay, but that he's willing to do, but he's not willing to suspend it in. But he's not willing to. Sorry, he's not willing to.
Suspend from taking it entirely.
The rebate. Right. And he will take the rebate. He'll just push it off for 30 days, right? And if you don't pay me in 30 days, then I'll start collecting interest from there. Okay. That was all the first question on Rabasi. Now we're getting to the second question, Tashma, and it's going to be very similar. So once you got this, and if you didn't get this, we'll review it in the next one. You'll get it more the second time. Ein nifreim minichsei yatomim elam inezi b'wit. You can only collect from yatomim from the worst property. Remember, there's the worst property, there's the middle, there's the best. So yatomim, you can only take from their worst property. Again, a way of protecting yatomim. So again, what are we collecting from yatomim? B'maya askina. If you're talking about a Baal Chov Obey Kochavim with the rebate, well, he's not going to listen to us. To take the rebate, he's going to say, I want better land. Again, if it's a Baal Chov Yisrael, he's going to accept rebate, well, then we're not going to let him accept rebate. So therefore, again, there's no rebate. If there's no rebate, there's no loss. So why don't we wait till the Yatomim get older? So it must be where he doesn't get any interest payment. In which case, why does it say we can collect it? When it comes to Rabbi Yochanan, we can say, well, it must be to pay the ketubah of the woman, the widow. So again, we're going to have the same thing, because Rav Asi, again, only says you can collect when it's interest, and there can't be an interest payment here. So again, we're going to throw the question back at Rabbi Yochanan. Amar lecha Rabbi Yassi, Rabbi Yochanan minicha iktuba ma iriya miyatme afilu minedi de nami beziburit. So now they say, wait, if it's a ketuba, what's the difference from yatomim? We've already learned that a woman can only collect her ketuba money from anybody from the worst land. Okay, why is that? They instituted it what we call Mishum Chinah, because we want the woman, okay, there's two different interpretations. Either we want the husband to want to marry the wife, so if he knows he can pay her back the ketubah money from the worst of his property, he'll be more likely to marry her. And that goes in the line of thinking that the woman's always happy to be married, but the husband, you know, is less so. Tov lemeitav tandum lemeitav armelo. Women in those days, for sure, always wanted to, or not for sure, but the majority of women would have preferred to be married. It protects them. Some people say Mishum Chin is the other way, that if she, if she knows it'll be easy for her to collect her money, then she'll be content in her marriage. If she's content in her marriage, well, that'll create a good relationship between them. Because she knows, I only have to get from the, you know, I can take from the Ziburit, I know it'll be easy for me to collect my ketubah money down the road. I think there's even a third interpretation, but we'll stick with two for right now. So now, let's go back to our question. If it's ketubah, so then, it doesn't have to say ein ifrim minichse yitomim elam in a ziburit. If that line is only talking about a woman accepting her ketubah, she can't collect from anyone. Let's say she gets divorced, she can only collect from the ziburit. So it's not only from yitomim, so it doesn't make any sense. So halo kasha, that's not a question, because we could say Rabbi Meir he damar ketubah isha bebeinonit. It must be Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir doesn't agree that the woman gets the ziburit only. She can collect her ketubah from the beinoni, umiyat mei beziburit, but only from yatomim mi ziburit. So we can explain it according to Rabbi Yochanan. But still, mikoma kam l'rabasi kashya. So what do they answer? Lo'olam b'bal chobo b'kochabim. We're going to have the exact same answer as before. It's a non-Jew who's collecting the money. Shekibel alav ladum b'nei Yisrael, who said, I agree that I'll push off the ribi payment for the 30 days. Ihachi ribi nami lo lishko. But then he shouldn't accept rebate at all. No, shekibel lezova lo kibel alav lezo. He agreed to get the ziburit payment. Sorry, I forgot it wasn't the 30 days. He agreed to get the ziburit payment. He said, I'll do whatever you think in your courts. But he didn't agree to push off, you know, to not accept rebate at all. Tashma. Amanat li tem li ishak tubata ulabal chov chovo. Okay, if you say, I'm going to give... in other words, again, this is you're trying to sell the property, right? For what purpose? In order to give l'ishak tu batal l'bal chov chovo, or to pay back. So, bishlama bal chov, we understand the bal chov, bein lamar kedishanina, the way we explained before. Elak tu batah, bit, right, that it's a non-Jew, right? We can explain it, that it's a non-Jew and that he's accepting part of it, but not all of it. But elak tu batah, bishlama l'rabbi Yochanan nicha, ela l'rabasi kashya. But what about Amanat Litain Lishak Tubata? How can we sell their property in order to get ketubah for a woman? According to Rav Asi, that's not a criteria. To get the ksuba for the woman, we'd have to wait till they become older. So how could we explain this? So, hacha b'maya skinan, this time they come up with a different answer. Kishachai of mode. It's when the husband, on his deathbed, said, I admit that I still owe her all her ketubah money. In that case, it's obvious that the atonement we're going to have to pay, and therefore, they have to pay, and therefore we allow them even when they're ketanim. So now they say, well, wait a minute, if you're going to give that answer, hachadati lahachi, kulunami kishachai of mode, we can go back and answer the other two questions in the exact same way. And we can say all those cases until now. You didn't have to say it was specifically a Baal Chov, it was a non-Jew who accepted that he would take on certain laws of the Jews, but not all of them. Why say that? Just say very simply, all these are cases where the husband admitted right before he died that he owed the money, in which case we know that he really owes the money and we can accept it from the atonement. Okay, now we're going to have a case. Miremar agbek tubata legrusha minichse diyatme. He collected ketubah money for a divorcee from the nichsesim of the atonement. Right, I guess they got divorced and then before the husband paid, he died. Amar le ravina la meimar, v'hamar rav Yehuda amar rav Asi, enis kikim ninichse yatomim elan kena tari bito chelek behem. How could you do this? Doesn't Rav Asi say only if there's rebate payment? And he says you could do it for ketubat isha, but afilu Rabbi Yochanan lo kamar ela balamana de kamaf sede mizone aval grusha. The whole reason Rabbi Yochanan said it was why? Because you have to pay mizono payments. But when it comes to a grusha, she just gets her ketubah money. She doesn't get these monthly mizono payments. So therefore, there's no issue for either of them, and how could you have allowed this divorcee to collect money from the orphans? Amar lei, ha anan de Rabbi Yochanan mishum chinam matnina. I understood Rabbi Yochanan that he did it mishum chinam. Again, this is that they allowed, this is what I said before, they allowed women to collect their ketubah money, even divorcees, in order to, again, is it to allow the, right here it's a little trickier because what's in the best interest of the man? So Rashi says it's so that the men will motzechem be'enei hanashim v'yinas'u lahem. In other words, it's so that the women, right, this goes against the Tov L'Meitav Tandu, that even women wanted to get married, but they wanted to know, and if you think about it, it's actually very logical. Why do women want to get married? Because they wanted to know that they were taken care of. And if they wanted to, they were taken care of. Well, they need to know not only will I be taken care of in marriage, but they wanted to know I'd be taken care of even after marriage. And even if the husband divorces me, I will get my money easily. So therefore, in order to convince the women to get married, they basically instituted that even grushot were allowed to collect the money from Yitomim. Even, right, what do we have here? Basically, it's very obvious. We have, on the one hand, we want to protect orphans. On the other hand, we want to protect the women also. Right, it's always the isha, the ger yatom, and almana. The yatom and the almana are in the same category of needing protection. So here we have a conflict of interest. There's yatomim on one hand, the woman on the other hand, and they were worried that if women knew that they would owe it, and let's think about it, most of the times they're collecting their ketubah, it's going to be from yatomim. So therefore, if they knew that they wouldn't be able to accept it, collect it very easily, and they might have to wait years, it would be a problem. So therefore, they instituted to make it easier.
I assume you were talking about a stepmother.
I didn't talk about this, but probably it's a stepmother, because otherwise, or they have a bad relationship with their mother, right? But often it's a stepmother. It's a second, you know, another wife, the Yitomim, for sure. Okay. Okay, sorry, I lost my place here. Meshalav, okay. Amar Rav Nachman. Now comes, until now we had two opinions. We had either you can only collect it from ribit, or you can collect it also for the ketubat isha. Amar Rav Nachman comes and says, actually, there were two historical stages. Meiresha lo hava miskakina l'nichse yatme. Really, we didn't let anybody collect, kind of like Rav Asi and Rabbi Yochanan said. But kevan de shamana lehu laha de Rav Huna chavrin mishmei de Rav. Since we heard what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Yatme da'achle de'lo didhu, lezle batar shivkayu, people started saying Yatomim are eating things that aren't theirs. They're consuming money that doesn't belong to them. They're going to end up in the same place as their parents, okay? Here they are, they're orphans, and people started saying, hey, you know, I've got money there. They're eating up all my money, consuming all my money, and they're going to end up in the grave with their parents because look what they're doing. Once that happened, mikam ve'elach mizdakakna. Okay? Basically, we started allowing people to collect from Yatomim because it wasn't a good situation. So now they want to explain Mei Kara Mai Tai Malo. So now, and now we finally get to, well, what's the reason really why they didn't want to let them in the first place? Now, there's a whole debate here. There's two opinions. We're going to see a third later on in the Gemara. It's actually a funny structure. We start off with two opinions, and now we brought in a third, right? The two opinions said only in unique situations. He comes and says eventually they allowed it in all situations. Then we're going to have two interpretations as to why you can't collect from the, why they thought originally you couldn't collect from the Yatomim, but it's going to seem like the Gemara seems to think that these are reasons given as to why other people think you can't collect at all, even nowadays, and we're going to paskin like them, and we're going to take this a little bit out of that they're not, they're just explaining this thing that, or this historical time that doesn't exist anymore, but actually they're coming to explain why we actually don't do it nowadays. And we're going to then see a third later on. So let's go with our opinions. Amar Papa Priyat Bal Chov Mitzvah V'yat Me'lav B'nei Me'abah Mitzvah Ninu. This is a very interesting tefisah. Before I even explain it, I'm going to give some background. There's a machloket about whether when you take out a loan, is your property, everyone agrees that your property becomes lien to the loan. But is that Mida Oraita or Mida Rabbanan? If you say it's Mida Rabbanan, then really to pay back a bal chov mida oraita is just because it's a mitzvah. It's not any more than that. If you say the property is lien mida oraita, then basically it means that property belongs to them. And it's not a mitzvah, it's just, it's theirs. So Rav Papa obviously holds it's only mida rabbanan, and therefore it's a mitzvah. And guess what? Yatomim, they're young, they don't have to be mekayim a mitzvah because they're not begil mitzvot yet. Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yehoshua amar, emar tzrara at pasei. Maybe the husband or the father already gave back, maybe he gave him a bundle of money, possibly as a collateral, and said, take this until I pay you back the loan. And the Yatomim have no way of knowing that. And only when they get older can they start researching. That's kind of what we indicated in the beginning. Can they start researching and figuring out why exactly, right? According to this, there is a Shiva Mido, right? It's just a question, was it paid back already? And they don't really know, right? There's obviously no father to ask, so therefore they can't know. So my Vinay, what's the difference between these two opinions? Again, either this is just a theoretical question because they're just coming to explain the original stage, which doesn't exist anymore, or as many people interpret, no, actually, their opinions just don't hold with, you know, they're explaining Rav Nachman, but they would also explain those opinions that say with, like that you can't collect even nowadays. My Vinayu, Ika Vinayu, Bishachayev Modeh. If the husband admitted before he died that he still owed the money, then according to Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yehoshua, well, we don't have to worry that Shari at Pase. But we would still have to, we could still say, according to Rav Papa, well, they're not b'nei mitzvah, they don't have to pay it back. Inami, likewise, would be the same nafkamina, shamtua umeit b'shamte. If he didn't pay back the money and they put him in excommunication and he was still in excommunication when he died for not paying back the money, then it would be obvious he hadn't paid back the money and they would have to pay it back. Only according to Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yehoshua. Again, Rav Papa would say, well, they're not chayav in the mitzvah. Shalchu mitam, they sent from there. Dishamtu umeit b'shamte. What if he was put in excommunication and he died? Right? So they said that would be, you know, you would have to pay. Vilchata ke Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yehoshua. And we paskin like Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yehoshua, that basically we're going to say, right, that... that we're worried. The whole issue here with the Yatomim is the concern that maybe the father paid back money during his lifetime. Now we're going to go into these two opinions. Okay, if you want to follow on the sheet, we're in on the second side. Okay, I tried to organize this. So we're now where it says Psak Alechandra, the first chart on the page. Now we're going to have a question on Rav Papa, and it's going to be very similar, surprisingly, to what we saw with Rav Asi before, the same type of questioning. Snam, look at our Mishnah. What does it say? Shoma Yatomim Shloshim Yom, Shoma Hekte Shishim Yom, Umachrizim Babokur Ba'erev, Bimai Askinan. So again, what's the case? Ilem a Babal Chov Obey Kochavim, if it's a Baal Chov who lent him Biribi, Mitzait, he's not going to listen to us to wait this 30 days. Elapshita Babal Chov Yisrael, it must be a Baal Chov Yisrael. So Bishlama Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yehoshua. So how can we collect according to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua? It must be a case we're collecting, we're assessing their property to pay back a loan because the father admitted right before on his deathbed that he still owed the money. Or you could say also he was in nidui. But he was in excommunication. Elal Rav Papa Kashya, but according to Rav Papa, since the atonement were not for a mitzvah, they never have to pay back a loan. So what could be the case? So Amar Lecha Rav Papa could answer two possible answers. Ibai de Maktuba Mishum China. Again, we made an exception to the rule when it came to the ketubah, that's an exception and you can collect that from Yatomim in order to ensure that people would get married. As we said before, it could be a non-Jew who said, I accept the judgment of the Jews. So if he says, I'll accept whatever your court says, then theoretically he should wait till they become of age, the way it would normally be in our courts. So again, it's not the simplest stuff, but at least there's a lot of repetition, which, you know, keeps us on our toes and remembering what we said. Okay. So he accepted part, but he accepted that he'd wait the 30 days, but he didn't accept that he's going to wait till they get older. Tashma. Now we're going to have another source. It's going to provide another question on Rav Papa's Shita. Right? You can assess the property in order to give a woman her ketubah or a baal chov his obligation, what you owe him. So b'maya skinan. Ilem baal chov ve kochavim mitzayit. Right? It says baal chov. So if it's a baal chov ve kochavim, is he going to listen? Ela pshita baal chov di Yisrael. So again, if it's a baal chov di Yisrael, bishlam al Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua moke le b'shchayev mode. You can explain. It's once the father admitted he owed the money, he hadn't paid it back yet. Ela le Rav Papa, bishlam ha'ktuba mishum china. The ktuba, it makes sense according to Rav Papa. We could say, okay, it's because of china, we were mekel by ktuba disha, or machmir on the yatomim that they have to pay the money. Ela baal chov kashya, but you can never pay back a baal chov because there's no mitzvah. So la'olam b'bal chov avei kochavim. So here the answer is must be a bal chov avei kochavim. Ukigon shekibel alav ladun b'dinei Yisrael. Same answer. He accepted judgment in the Jewish court. So ikibel alav lintulu adigadle. If he accepted what our courts say, well then theoretically we should wait till he gets older. So again shekibel alav lazov v'lo kibel alav lazov. Okay. So again that was a whole diyun. It's exactly parallel to the earlier sugya where we had Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan. We kept questioning Rav Asi. Now we had two explanations of the first stage and what Rav Nachman said, which we again said could explain also theoretically why the other opinions say you have to wait. And how do we explain Rav Papa's Shita? So now they're going to add, and just like there we had two and we dealt with those two and then all of a sudden brought in a third, here also we're bringing in a third explanation. Rava Amar, okay, and I charted this all out at the very end so you could kind of see. There's Sikuma Shitot, the three Shitot, and then the reason Shein is Kikim Liyatomim, there's these three answers. Either Priyap Achov is a mitzvah and they're not B'nai mitzvah, or Tzarei Akbasei, maybe the father already gave money back in his time period, or while he was still alive, or there's a third possibility, Rava Amar Mishum Shovar. It could be that maybe the father had a receipt that he paid the money back, but they don't know where to find it, right? And again, when they're young, they don't know how to search for these things. So therefore, there's a concern that maybe there's a shofar. By the way, there's a whole question about, is this only in a case where, we learned this a while back, about can we assume that nobody pays his loan back until it's actually due? So there could be this whole discussion that we're worried he already paid the money back would only be if the chov was due after the time the father died. I'm sorry, before the time the father died, if the chov was already up. Theoretically, if the date hadn't yet come, it could be nobody would be concerned that it was paid back. Let's say, you know, he died in January, and in February the loan was due. It could be then, it would be clear that the father hadn't paid back the money, in which case maybe everyone would agree they'd have to pay the money, or at least anyone who thinks the issue is Tzarei Akbasei or Shovar, etc. Amar le Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua le Rava. Now Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua says to Rava, "Umichashina l'shavar, are we really concerned for this? V'hatnan, we have another source that says, Hanifrat shelo b'fanav lo tipara ela b'shvua. If you swear not in the presence, this is a woman swearing not in the presence of her husband. She tries to get her ketubah money back, not in the presence of her husband. She must take a shvua. Okay, we can't let her do it unless, right, either in his presence or with a shvua. V'amar Rav Acha sar habira." Okay, it's a mission in Ketubah. Rav Acha Sar Bira says, Ma'aseh ba lefnei Rav Yitzchak nafcha l'Antiochia, ba'amar lo shanu ela ketubat isha mishum china. This is only a ketubat isha. But aval bal chov lo. But a bal chov doesn't need to swear to get his money back. The rabba amar Rabbi Yochanan, amar Rav Nachman, afilu bal chov nami. Even a bal chov needs to swear. Now what does this have to do with us? Ichayshit l'shovar, if we're worried that maybe there's a shovar and we don't know where it is, hatam nami nichush. Here also, we should be concerned that maybe there's a shovar and you shouldn't allow anyone to accept, to no one should be able to come and be able to take money from your funds without you being there to claim, maybe I paid the money back. So, if we're worried about a shovar, that we just can't find it, so here we should also be concerned and not allow him to do it. So, Amar Leh, Hatan Kedamrinan Tama, the reason why we don't allow, the reason why we allow people to collect their money even if he's not there. Okay, one second, I just want to check one thing. Let me just clarify. What Rava said in the name of Nachman is even a Baal Chov is allowed to go without the person being there. Okay? In other words, they said, the first opinion said only the Ketubat Isha can accept the money without him being there, Beshvua. Okay? She can swear. But Rava says even a Baal Chov can go into the possessions of someone, swear, and say, I swear I didn't get paid back, and get paid back. So now they say, right, if you're worried about there being a Shovar, then also we should be choshesh that maybe, right, maybe we should wait till the person comes back. So now they say, just like by Ketubat Isha, there was a special dispensation, here also by Baal Chov there's a special dispensation. Amar Leh, hatam kedamrina tama shelo yehe kol echad notel ma'otav shel chaviro v'holech v'yoshev lo b'medinat hayam. We're basically saying that the person has to take a shvua. We allow someone to go collect the money from a loveh who left town, because otherwise people are going to just borrow money, skip town, and they'll never have to pay the money back. And then, it doesn't actually say this, but it says this in a different sugya, which is, then what will happen? People won't, it's not just we're worried about the malveh and protecting the malveh, but if the malveh is not protected, then he won't loan money. It's really like the Ketubat Isha. If the woman's not protected, she won't get married, or she won't, right, there, or there'll be tension in the marriage, and then the husband won't want to get married because they'll know there'll be this tension. So, to prevent some other situation, it's just like Prusbol, right, that we allow it because otherwise people won't ever lend money. So, because of that, they protect. Okay. Amarav hilchata. So now we're just going to get the halacha. Okay, we're a little over. We'll just quickly finish hilchata. Ein iskakim nilchse yatomim. So now we get to halacha lamaase. He says we can't collect from yatomim. V'im amar tnu. But if the father said on his deathbed, give him the money, then niskakim. Then we allow it. Or if he says sadezo manazo, this field belongs to so and so. This money belongs. This bundle of money belongs to so and so. Then niskakim. In those cases, not only do we pay back the money, you don't even need a legal guardian. You can, if the father said that sadeh belongs to this person, that bundle of money belongs, you can just give it away. But if he said sadeh stam, umanas stam, but if he said I owe him a field, I owe him some money, then nizkakim umamidim apotropos. Then it's this in between. Okay, so he gives three stages. One where you can't collect at all. If the father said this field, then you can collect even without an apotropos. And the in between, a field with an apotropos. Amrei Nahardeah, and Nahardeah, they said, Bekulu niskakim, everything you can collect money, umamidim apotropos, but you always put an apotropos, sorry, he means in all the places where you can collect, you have to have an apotropos, even if he says sadezo, leva minim tseit sadeh she'eno shelo, tachzuke sadeh b'shakre lo mechaskina, except for a case where somebody says, witnesses come and say, that field that they claim is in their property, it's not, and they prove it with witnesses, then you don't need an apotropos at all. Amar Rav Ashi, that's different than saying I owe this field to somebody, right? That's different than saying this field was a stolen property. Okay, if they prove that, then you clearly don't need an apotropos. You see how into detail they got because they really wanted to protect these yatomim and keep people from taking advantage. Amar Rav Ashi, so now he summarizes, Hilkach, is dikuke lo mizdakinan, we really don't accept, let people collect money from these yatomim. Daha Amar Rava, as Rava said, Hilchata ein is kakin. But im is dakakina, but in the unique cases, the exceptions to the rule, like the tuba and the balchov, where he said sadezo and all that, mukmina napitropus, da amr naharde abakulun is kakina, umamidim apitropus levarminim se sadeshe no shalo, dachzuke sade beshafe lo machaskina. And he says, right, except for those cases where the father said, you owe the money, I owe this person money, And in those cases, he says, and he starts like Rava, but he ends like Nahardea, where he ends up saying, in all those cases, you need not be troubled. Even if he said this field, we still have to protect their rights and gives them someone that will go out to bat for them, except for in the one case where we have witnesses, it was a stolen field because there's nothing to claim against two witnesses in court. Okay, so again, this was all about how we protect different people in society, both the yatom and the woman, the people who kind of have struggles with collecting their money, and even a Baal Chov, right? Remember, the Baal Chov, I didn't point this out, but a Baal Chov is generally someone who is nice enough to lend you money, and then he gets stuck because he can't collect his money back. So also, we have to kind of protect him, and if we don't protect him, what will happen? People won't lend money, and then we have a problem in our society, because that's how we function, by borrowing money.